So we left off yesterday with a potential machlokes of Rishonim within the din of Dabbas Shneish Matirin. So everybody seems to be working with the assumption that Dabbas Shneish Matirin are filled by Elaflo Batil, that's a Gemara in a few places, and the Rambam had his Chiddush Yira Li, that halacha is limited only to Min B'mino, not to Min B'she'en Amino. We have no idea why that should be so, but that was the Rambam's Chiddush. And then we had in between the lines, we saw that there may be a rift that disagrees. The Ramban claims that the Rif disagrees because the Rif says that if you bake bread and meat in the oven at the same time, everything is exposed, and now the Reach is going from one to another, so you're not allowed to eat that bread together with Milchiks. So the Rif raised the question, why is that? We seem to pass to that Reach Halav Milsa. We're not so worried about Reach. If you have a piece of kosher meat and a treifa piece of meat roasting together, we ignore it. So why all of a sudden do we become so machmir when it comes to the bread? So the Rif said very simple, because the bread is a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Nobody's forcing you to eat the bread together with milchiks. You can eat it with parma, you can eat it with fleishiks. So since you have another way of eating the bread, we can plug in the phrase, acha tochleto be'isa tochleto behetter. Why eat it in a questionable way with milk? Eat it in the way that hetter gomu without milk. Therefore, it meets the category of a davar sheyesh lo matirin. So the Ramban observed from that riff, even though that's clearly min b'she'en amino, we're talking about meat and the bread, and that has nothing to do with min b'mino, and still the riff applied the rule of davar sheyesh lo matirin for riyav lo batil. It would appear that the riff, who predated by the Rambam by a few generations, disagreed with the Rambam. So we discovered, the Ramban discovered for us in the Chalekis and Rishonim, the riff and the Rambam, what are the parameters of davar sheyesh lo matirin? So again, everybody is subscribing to this din of davar sheyesh lo matirin. We're not quite sure whether it's limited only to min b'mino, like the Rambam claims, or whether it expands to min b'she'en amino. Why is this so important for us? Because this sets the stage for Chametz Pesach Mashu. Because our goal is to understand Rav's statement. I'm a Rav, Hilchos Chametz Pesach Asur Mashu. That's our goal. Even though we have to be honest, it's not a statement even in Chulin. That's a statement in Psachim. So why are we learning it now? Because Tosas, this big, made a whole tumult about this Gemara. Because this Gemara about Chametz Pesach Asur Mashu impacts about what you think about Mashu, whether you're a Rabbi Yehuda person or a Baran person. That very much is a Chulin sugya. So we're following the Ikvos HaTosfos. The Tosfos stopped Chulin, closed the Chulin, and started to learn the Sugya of Psachim to understand the Sugya of Psachim in light of everything we've been talking about. So based on this Machlekes, the Rif and the Rambam, we now have two very, very different ways of reading the Gemara of Psachim. The Gemara says, Amar Rava Hilchus HaChametz V'Pesach Asa B'Mashu, Bein B'mino Bein B'Shalom Mino. So within those who are seeing in this Gemara, Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, the Gemara never, ever, ever calls Chametz Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. There are many Rishonim who didn't even introduce Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. Rashi, Tosfos, the Rishonim never heard of Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin vis-a-vis Chametz for reasons that hopefully we'll find out about fairly soon. But within the worldview of the Rambam, that Chametz is the Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, we have a further breakdown as to, well, what does that mean? So according to the Rambam, what it means is, if it's a tarobus a min b'mino, then we call it davar sheyesh lo matirin, afilu b'yalf lo batil. And if it's a tarobus min b'she'en amino, then nevach we have to fall back on chumrah d'chametz. You can't call it regular davar sheyesh matirin, because the Rambam's yiraldi is that davar sheyesh matirin doesn't apply to min b'she'en amino. So the Rambam almost has a two-pronged attack to chametz. He says that chametz is davar sheyesh matirin, and that explains why it's also b'mino b'mashu. And you want to know why it's shalom b'mino b'mashu, ayin sham chumrah d'chametz. Whereas now, according to the Rif and the Ramban, we could have a whole other approach to chametz. We could call chametz davar sheyesh lo matirin, call it a day, and say it is that characteristic of davar sheyesh lo matirin that is creating an iser bein b'mino, bein shalom b'mino. If the Rif really truly believes, like the Ramban claims, the Rif really truly believes that when it comes to davar sheyesh lo matirin, there is no distinction between min b'mino and min b'she'en amino, then the Gemara in Pesachim is like a charm. Amar Rava. Hilchus HaChametz UPesach Asa B'Mashu because of Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin Bein B'mino Bein Shelo B'mino. There's no need to fall back on Chumrah D'Chametz. No need any of what the Rambam had to fall back on. However, everything we just said is hinging upon the fact that the Rif said what we think he said. We're not in bad company. The Ramban claimed that way, but the Ran disagreed, and it's this long way. You know, we're not going to be able to do justice to reading every word of the Ran. I'm not sure how much we read, little snips of it maybe inside. But again, it's one of the Ran doesn't need my stamp of approval, but it's one of the most classic Rans, one of the most famous Rans in the Nedarim for sure. It's probably the most famous Ran in the Maseches Nedarim, and definitely one of the most famous Rans in all of Shas. The Ran takes us 10 steps back in order to take us 5 steps forward. It goes back to the ABCs, and something that we spoke a little bit about already in some of the previous sugyas. And in discussing the intricacies of Dovah Sheish Tamatirin, which, let's not forget, is primarily a Din Derabanan, the Ran demonstrates in literally the most perfect way, to understand the Din Derabanan, you have to really understand the Din Deraisa, because Chazal didn't just slap us with this Din Derabanan and that Derabanan. Oh, let's make this gezeira, why not? Chazal looked at the Torah Kedosha, and when they felt that there was a necessity to institute certain Din Derabanan for whatever reason that prompted them to institute Din Derabanan throughout the last 3,500 years, they always had the eye on the ball, always had the eye on the Chumash itself, always had the eye on the Din Deraisa, and pattern the Dinim Derabanan, Ka'ein the Dinim Deraisa, and very, very often we can learn a whole lot about Dinim Deraisa through the eyes of a subsequent Din Derabanan. This is the classic application of this principle. The Ran says, let's ask ourselves the ABCs. Why did Chazal make this Gezeira? What was the purpose of Dovah Sheish Matir Nefil B'Aflo Batil? What was wrong with the way the world was back in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu? In the good old days, back in the world of Deraisas, a little food fell in, a little trefus fell in, and tried to finish the bottle. Didn't make the slightest bit of difference whether that the item was chazir, whether it was chadosh, whether it was chametz, whether it was a beit hashnol to biyomtiv. Moshe Rabbeinu never heard of the sugya of Dovah Sheish Matir. I mean, he heard of Baruch HaKodesh, but in the world of Deraisa, it didn't exist. So, why did the Chacham have to come up with this idea in the first place? So we already posed this question earlier on, and we quoted a Rashi in Maseches Beitza. The Rashi told us that what prompted Chazal to institute Dovah Sheish Matirin was the notion of Bittul is not the greatest thing, or at least people don't perceive Bittul as being the greatest thing. So, why rely on the Shvach HaKul of Bittul if you don't have to? So when it comes to Dovah Sheish Ein Lo Matirin, the other option is to throw the food out. But it comes to Dovah Sheish Matirin, you can wait a week, wait a month, wait a little bit of time, and you'll be able to eat it without resorting to Bittul. So that's a good idea. That's how Rashi presented it. But if you remember, we already had a lot of problems with that, because what do you mean that's your Tuchlenu? Be'isser, Tuchlenu Be'etter. Why is that Isser? What's wrong with Bittul? If Bittul was given to Moshe Rabbeinu as part of the Pasha Charam Lahatos, that's one of the Dinim Deraisa. Bittul Barov is for sure Din Deraisa. There's no question about that. The Gemara has that in many, many places. If Bittul Barov is a Dinim Torah, so why is that Asher Nechlan HaBiyasa? What's wrong with what I'm doing? So Rashi needed a little bit of work. We had a lot of trouble with that Rashi. So the Ran goes down an entirely different route. The Ran says, let me give you a background as to why I think Dovah Sheish Matirin entered onto the scene of history in the first place. But in order to understand the Din Derabanan of Dovah Sheish Matirin, we have to go back a step and understand the Din Deraisa of Bittul Barov. So we find a very, very strange machlokes at the Rambam. We've been referencing this machlokes time and time again. We find a very, very strange machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim about the intricacies, about the details of Bittul Barov. Everybody agrees to Bittul Barov. There's no question there's a concept of Bittul Barov in Halacha, but comes Rabbi Yehuda and says, the buck stops here, min b'mino eino batil, that if the two items are physically the same, they have the same physical characteristics, then alzeh lo ne'emah b'tor bittul. Bittul doesn't apply. How did Rabbi Yehuda know that? He had a very complicated drasha, dama para, dama sara. We spoke about this in the past. You have a lot of blood from a big bull, a little blood from a little goat, and the Torah says to mix him, and the Torah still says it's called dama para, dama sara. You see that dama sara hasn't lost its characteristics. You see from here that min b'mino went above. It was a tremendous jump. Rabbi Yehuda went from the base, from the Avodas Yom Kippurim, of the Kohen Gadol to the kitchens. But Rabbi Yehuda looked at, it's amazing, even if you just stop and think about that for a minute, Rabbi Yehuda looked at blood of a par and a sawyer and saw a shayl of chicken soup. He said, it's the same thing. If the damasar is not batel, then the tray for chicken soup is not batel either, min b'mino in a batel. And the Chacham said, no, it's not true. That's special, that's karbanis, that's kachim, olas, it's a different story. That halacha doesn't impact in our kitchen. What's the nekudas machlokes between Rabbi and the Chacham? What are they really arguing about? Are they arguing about some intricacy of, does the pasuk hear, does the pasuk know, does the pasuk mean it? It's much deeper than that, says the Ran. The Ran says there's almost like a quasi-halachic, almost like a hashkafic, philosophical, metaphysic, whatever you want to call it, machlokes that's taking place here in between the lines between Rabbi and the Chacham. And we spoke a little bit about this Ran in the past, and now it's going to eventually set the stage for Dovah Sheish Matirin. So a little bit of a chazara, then we'll move on. So it comes around and says, both Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim agree that there is an underlying principle necessary for Bittul to take place. And that principle is, if you remember that student of mine a few years ago, coined the phrase hitnagdut. It means a clash. There has to be a conflict. There has to be a war. Bittul means when two forces that are opposing one another, and one literally overcomes the other. One takes over the other and is mevatlet and smashes it and beats it to a pulp, and it doesn't exist anymore. But if everybody is living b'shalom v'shalva, everyone's going arm in arm, there's no bittul. Bittul by definition means there was a battle, there was a conflict, there was a clash, and there was a clear victor, and there was someone who was defeated. That is the notion of, that's what bittul, that's the image of bittul that you conjure up in your mind, says the Rav. And it's based on this nekuda that Rabbi Nachum are arguing the following point. He said, how do you view where the two things are fighting with one another? Or how do you view where the two things are at peace with one another? So the answer is, if they're different from one another, then there's a fight. That sets the stage for a fight. If everybody's the same, they're not arguing. There's no fight. Everyone's living b'shalva together. So how do you determine whether two items are the same or are they different? And all of bittul is going to hinge upon that point. Because if they're identical, then there's no fight. If there's no fight, then there's no bittul. If they're different, then there's a fight. And then the best one wins, the strongest one wins.
But how do we know that bittul doesn't work where there's no clash?
So the Ran says, the Ran is saying that's a svar pshuta. He's assuming, I mean, so I took 100 lines to explain it to you. He's convinced that that is the ABC of the very nature of bittul is presupposing that one is victorious over the other, and you only have a victory one over the other when there's a fight, when there's a war. If there's no war, then there's no bittul. The whole parasha of bittul doesn't exist. Everybody retains their own unique characteristics.
So that's bittul by the quality, but by quantity it doesn't impact.
Okay. So now there is going to be, you're going to need a certain degree of quantity in order for bittul to work. Whether that quantity is rho, whether the quantity is 60, you're going to...
But if you have quantity... But it's the same.
Right, then you still don't have bittul, right? Then you can't have bittul, right. That's like the prerequisite. That's like the bottom line, says the Rambam. Without that clash, without that qualitative difference, without the hitnagdut, you're not going to get into the batter's box. That's the Rambam's yisod, this entire Rambam. So it comes around and says, now, this is the point of contention between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. A very, very dachistic point. This is almost like how you view life, how you view the world. I have a pot of kosher chicken soup, and I have a little drop of trefa chicken soup. I want to know the following. Are these the same item, or are these different items? Everything's hinging upon that. If they're the same, no bittul. If they're different, yes, bittul. So the question is, to determine whether something is the same or different, you have to ask yourself, well, what characteristic are you looking at?
Are you saying this even for Rav Shimon now?
Who? Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda.
It's only Rabbi Yehuda.
We're going to discuss this. Bein Lefri, Rabbi Yehuda, Bein Lefri, Rabbanan. We're going to talk about this. Bein Lefri, Rabbi Yehuda, Bein Lefri, Rabbanan. We're going to get this.
Rabbi Shimon agrees with this, that you need this conflict.
Who's Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Yehuda. 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 Rabbi Yehuda.
Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda.
That you need conflict, yeah.
Conflict.
Yeah, that's the Ran. The Ran made it up. Before the Ran, no one ever heard of it, but the Ran said he thinks everybody agrees to it. It's a double portion on everybody agrees to it. Right. Rabbi Shimon does appear in the Sukkot of Shesh Matirim, but I'm not sure what that's referring to. Okay, so back to that story for a second. So now becomes a very, very fine line. How do you determine whether items are the same or are they different? This is like not a shas topic, this is a globe, this is a world kind of a topic. Let's say Elam Marshall. I have a cup of water here. I don't know. Someone have a cup of coffee? Is that a cup of coffee? Okay. So someone wanted to tell me, was water and coffee, are they the same or are they different? So the question is, well, what characteristics are you focusing on? If you're focusing on the fact that they're both liquids, yeah, they are. If you're focusing on the fact that they're both in a cup, then yeah. If you're focusing that one's going to keep you up in the morning and one is not, so then they're different. One is brown, one is not, one is clear. There are obviously some things are different and some things are the same. So what's really important is what characteristics are you focusing on? Rabbi Yehuda said, the focus is upon physical characteristics. Namely, does it look like chicken soup? Does it taste like chicken soup? Is it called chicken soup? Remember all the shema, time, all the things we spoke about in the past. This is chicken soup, and it's chicken soup. So they're the same. If they're the same, min b'mino, therefore min b'mino ain't a batil. The same way this dam is the same as this dam, ain't a batil. This chicken soup is the same as this chicken soup, and ain't a batil. And the Rabbanan said no. The Rabbanan said, the two chicken soups are radically different from one another. What? They're the same chicken soup. They taste the same, look the same, smell the same, call the same. What's different? One's kosher, one's treif. Says the Rabbanan, that spiritual characteristic of kashrus versus tarfas is more important to us than all the physical characteristics put together. Say the Rabbanan, that something which is so radically different one from another in its halachic properties is considered to be, in halacha, in effect, I don't want to call it min b'she'en amino, is that a fair way of calling it, but conflict there is, hitnagdut there is, a fight to the finish there is, because even though it's true, they are similar in certain characteristics, but those are not really the important characteristics. The real characteristics are the halachic qualities. Remember, whenever I hear this rant, I always think of something that the Shiva came, Yavna, Gopach Zatzal, used to tell us that he wants when a bracha leaves the yeshiva, so they should continue to, he used to call them the mishkafayim yeshivatiyot or something, call that phrase, says, you should still wear the yeshiva glasses. It means you should look at everything in the world through the eyes of Torah. It means the decisions that you make should be the same decisions that you make when you're in the Beis Medrash. You have to look at everything through the eyes of the halacha, through the eyes of Ashkaf, through the eyes of the Torah. So that's what the Rabbanan said. I'm looking at the chicken soup, and according to the world of Torah, it's not the same. This is radically different. A cup of... I don't know what's a good name with Trefa Chizum. What's a good...
Campbell's?
Campbell's chicken soup. And what's a good... We need a Hamisha brand. Good Rokeach chicken soup. I don't know. So Campbell... I'm not going to comment whether they are the same or not the same. But Campbell's and Rokeach, according to him, it's the same thing. This chicken soup, this chicken soup. And they're about to say, no, it's not. So Campbell says, Trefa chicken soup. And Rokeach says, Hamisha chicken soup. It's a different chicken soup. It's a different color shape.
What about the two damim? Would you say that there you have a halachic difference?
Yeah, absolutely different. One's a damapar, one's bechapa for the kohen gadol, one's bechapa for the am. They're different karbanos.
They're different.
They're different.
There's no conflict. There's no hitnagdut.
But there is hitnagdut. Each one is serving a different role in the Beis HaMikdash. So this is serving
That's
the
enough.
Role of bechapa. I guess so, right? You have to say that.
With the halachic glasses.
You have to really, really look. You know, if you were the Kohen Gadol, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and you saw the Dama Par, Lichten, this is my Kapara. Then you look at the Dama Sar. This is Klai Yisrael's Kapara. It's a different Kapara. Like, I'm very different. But you have to have really, extra special lenses for that one to be able to discern the two. So back to that story. So comes around and says, if you think about it, what is ultimately the engine that's driving Bittul, that's enabling Bittul in the world of the Rabbanon, is the hitnagdut that was created by halachic differences. And now the Ran begins to hit the punchline. Comes around and says, "Bamed devar mamurim," that there's hitnagdut halachically, is when you have a davar ha'asur and a davar ha'mutar on the other end, and they are so radically different from one another. But what if the davar ha'asur itself is not so asur? The davar ha'asur itself is a little gray. It's not black and white. It's not so bad. Not as bad as we think. Why is it not as bad as we think? Because tomorrow it's going to be mutter. Next week, when Pesach's up, when the Chodesh season's up, it's going to be mutter. So says the Ran, wait a second, hold the phone. Once the Davar Ha'aser is not as Aser as we thought it was, we just chiseled away from its halachic properties of Isser, it is coming a little bit too close to comfort to the Davar Mutter. It's starting to resemble the Davar Mutter a little bit. And that spells trouble for Bittul, because Bittul was presupposing the clear cut hitnagdut, which is no longer present because of Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. So comes around and says, now if you want to know the truth, says around, this is not a Din Min HaTorah. Min HaTorah, Isser and Heter are defined by Bashi Osham, like Yishmael, last week's Basha. If it's Osir now, it's Osir. If it's Mutter now, it's Mutter. And there's hitnagdut and Midderai, so we can apply Bittul. But Midderabbanan, Chazal felt that because the Davar HaIsser is not as Asr as we really thought it was, Harai, it's going to become Mutter in a few days from now, that detracts from its Isser qualities, and now the lines of demarcation are now blurred, and now Midirabbanan, we have to declare, we're not comfortable with Bittul kicking in. We cannot apply Bittul because the Hitnagdut has been removed, because the Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin is not as Asr as we actually thought it was. So it comes out a very, very strange thing, according to the Ran, that what Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin ultimately means is that, not like Rashi, that's not the problem. The problem is that it's undermining the prerequisite for Bittul. The very prerequisite of Hitnagdut is being thrown into question because the lines of demarcation, the clear Hitnagdut is not there anymore because the Isser is not as awesome as we thought it was. That's what the Ran's... Right, that's right. Midaraisi, you're right. Midaraisi, you're correct. Hashem Husham, like Yishmael. But Midarabbanan, Chazal felt that it doesn't look right. Something that doesn't sit right with us. Al Shema Asid, right. So now comes around and says, now we can begin to understand the deep riddle of the Rambam's Yerali. The Rambam said, by the way, Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, Afilu B'Yafal Batel, that's only true by Min B'Mino, not by Min B'Sheino Mino. Why? What's the difference? So the answer is, according to Rashi, it's really a Pella. If the whole reason for Davar Sheyesh Matir is Atshe Tochlenu Be'isat Tochlenu Be'heter, why should that make a difference whether the Ta'arovus is Bimbamino, Mimshedamino? Wait it out. Have patience, savonut. You could wait till tomorrow. You could wait for tomorrow whether it was minbamino, whether minbishenamino. So we don't really understand that distinction of the Rambam. Says the Rad, according to me, that distinction makes a lot of sense. What's the pshat of the distinction? Says the Rad, in order for bittul to occur, we have to create that hitnagdut. By a minbishenamino, we have the hitnagdut. The hitnagdut is there. It's physical hitnagdut. The only reason why the Chachamim had to fall back on halachic nagdut was because the physical nagdut was lacking because it was min bemino. So where b'med devar mamurim that you have to start looking for the halachic universe and start putting on the yeshivish glasses and start looking for halachic differences to create that conflict. That's when you're dealing with the min bemino, because quite frankly, in Olam Hazeh, there is no difference. Rabbi Yehuda is right. Rabbi Yehuda says you don't even follow the halacha. Rabbi Yehuda says you just follow the mitzvos. And if it's the same, it's the same, and mivimino in a bottle. So we, the Rabbanan, were mechadesh against Rabbi Yehuda, that even by mivimino, we could salvage bittul, because we could fall back on halachic conflict, on the hitnagdut of the halacha. So says the Ran, when you have davar sheyesh matirin, hitnagdut of halacha is lacking. But you don't need hitnagdut of halacha in mimbish en amino, because you have the real hitnagdut of olam hazeh, which even the Rabbanan ultimately accept. So that's the second nekuda of the Ran. So far, we have three nekudas of the Ran. So the first nekuda of the Ran was to explain to us what the Machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim was all about. Is that what were they fighting about? Min bemino in a bottle or not? Everyone agrees to hitnagdut. And they're arguing about how do you define hitnagdut. That was point number one of the Ran. Point number two of the Ran was to tell us that because of that existence of hitnagdut or lack thereof, that's what prompted Chazal to institute Davar Sheyesh Matir, because Davar Sheyesh Matir whittles away a little bit, it removes just a little bit, it chisels away a little bit from the hitnagdut of halacha, and that's a problem. But point number three of the Ran is, b'med b'mamurim, it's a problem, that's when you needed halacha hitnagdut in the first place, i.e. min b'mino. By min b'she'en amino, you never needed it in the first place, so therefore it doesn't bother you. So far, I would say about this Ran, ilmal l'basar d'vet dayenum, this Ran in of itself is an eye-opener. Now the Ran comes for the punchline. Now the Ran comes and he says, a brisket Torah. There are two kinds of Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin, says the Ran. There are Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin of the future, and there are Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin of the present. Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin of the future is something along the lines like a Beitza Shenol to be Yomtiv. Classic Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin, Beitza Shenol to be Yomtiv. Right now, on Yomtiv, this egg is off limits. There is nothing I can do with this egg. It's off limits. I have to wait it out for 24 hours till it's going to become mutter. Or another Davar Sheyesh we spoke last week about Chadash. Right now, the second day of Pesach hasn't come yet. This grain is off limits. There's nothing I can do with the grain now. I got to wait it out for a couple of months in order for me to be able to eat the grain. That's called Davar Sheyesh Matirin Loss of Lavo. But then there's another kind of Davar Sheyesh Matirin. A Davar Sheyesh Matirin which has a heter right now. There's something I could do with it right this moment that would be the heter. What are two examples of that? One was, Tarsadar would be one. Okay, Tarsadar would. But even better than that, the Ran says, something that you don't have to do anything. And I'll tell you what, says the Ran, the case of Tchumen. Remember we spoke about that the other day? I have a little bit of salt, a little bit of spices, of Rochel that got mixed into Leah's Issa, into Leah's dough. So the Gemara says, ay, 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 it's not going to be Batel. You can't take it out of the Tchum, because Davar Sheyesh Matirin will be Avlo Batel. So comes the Ran and says, that Davar Sheyesh Matirin is not just the Davar Sheyesh Matirin of the future. It's now also why? No one's telling you not to eat that dough. No one's telling you you can't eat that piece of cake. They're just telling you, don't eat it across the street. Eat it over here within Rachel's Tchum. Don't go out of Rachel's Tchum. It's a Davar Sheyesh Matirin here and now. It's not just to wait it out till Tzeis tonight. You can eat it now. Yesh lo matirin achshav lefanecha. That's a Davar Sheyesh Matirin achshav. And what's another example of a Davar Sheyesh Matirin achshav? The bread. The quote-unquote fleshic bread. I have bread that got a bliya, derech reach, of a piece of meat. So we say Davar Sheyesh Matirin. That's not a Davar Sheyesh Matirin of tomorrow. We're not telling you to wait till next week to eat the bread. We're telling you, eat it with a slice of turkey instead of a slice of cheese. We're giving you an option of heter right now, Bashehu Sham. That's a totally different kind of Davar Sheyesh Matirin. That's a much higher form of davishesh matirin, where the heter isn't a thing of the future, the distant future. It's ba'asher hu sham. There's an option of heter right omed lefanecha. Says the Ran, following his model, when you have a heter omed lefanecha right now, that has chiseled away at the iser to such an extent that's almost non-recognizable. There are degrees of chiseling away at iser. Min haTorah, there's a davar asar, and now we start to chisel away at the iser. If it's a davar sheish material in the remote and distant future, 6 months from now it'll become mutter, that's a chisel, but a teeny weeny chisel. But if it's mutter ha'imid lefanecha, if there's a way you can eat it right now by sheo sham, you don't even have to wait a second, just put a slice of turkey on and call it a day, or just eat the cake in Rachel's house and call it a day, you don't have to wait for anything. That is such an unbelievable super duper duper davashesh matirin, that has removed the properties of Isser almost entirely. And you know what happens? When you remove properties of Isser, you know what happens? You undermine it nagdut. And when you undermine it nagdut, you're in big trouble. Because when you undermine it nagdut, that goof is going to prevent you from being able to apply bittul. Comes around and says, Bamed devar mamurim, that davashesh matirin distinguishes between min bamino and min b'she'eno mino, that we're only worried about it by min bamino, not by min b'she'enomino. That's when you're talking about low-level davar sheyesh matirin, which is not really mutter. Chodesh is not really mutter. That the Beit Shalom is not really mutter. It's going to be mutter in the future. Yasad Lavo, in 6 months, it's going to become mutter. That kind of low-level davar sheyesh matirin, so it's not really a davar mutter. It's really an iser with a heter attached to it in the future. So that kind of davar sheyesh matirin can impact on min bamino and can say that, well, there's a little bit lack of it in Agdut, and we have a problem. But if it's Mim She'eino Mino, then you're good to go. Because Mim She'eino Mino, Lamais, that's different. But when you're dealing with the super-duper Dovashesh material, which is so undermining the characteristics of Issa to such an extent that it's almost identical to the Heter, it's indistinguishable from a Dovashel Heter, this is Mutter, it's Mutter Hamid Lefanecha, then come to Rabbanan and say, that, well, what characteristics are we going to focus on? We're going to focus on the halacha characteristics, because that's what they always focused on, mitchila. The halacha characteristics are too close for comfort. And even though the physical characteristics are different, there's no itnakdut here. Because the halacha characteristics have so blend, have so merged to one, that davar sheyesh matirin afilu b'yarech lo batel, even by min b'she'eino mino. So says the Ran, that the emesis, the Rambam's right, Yerali, that classic davar sheyesh matirin, difference, min bamino is a problem, min she'eino mino is not a problem. But once you enter into the realm of the new davar sheyesh material that Ran just established, just discovered for us, once you're in super duper, highly concentrated davar sheyesh material, so then the buck stops here, even by min she'eino mino. That's why the Gemara in Beitza says, davar sheyesh material by the tchumen. That's why the Gemara, the Rif said, davar sheyesh material by the bread, and says the Ran, but if you have a davar sheyesh material that's merely a heter of the future, nobody would say min b'she'eino mino in a bottle. No one would say it. The Rif would never say it, says the Ran. The Ramban is not right. The Rif never said it. The Rif only said it by the super duper davar sheyesh matirin of a davar heter omed lefanecha. What does that have to do with chametz? Everything under the sun. Chametz is the davar sheyesh matirin. What kind of davar sheyesh matirin is chametz? Is it the super duper one? Not at all. You can't do anything with chametz right now. Chametz is in the distant future. In a week from now, you have your chametz back. Right now, the chametz is off limits. It's davar sheyesh matirin, all right, but it's a very, very watered down davar sheyesh matirin. Therefore, the Rambam's Yerali is right. It's taka only us and min bamino. So, how could the Gemara say min b'she'eino mino? Chumr de chametz. So, argues the Ran in this long, 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 long beats that ultimately everybody has to fall back on chumr de chametz when it comes to chametz for Pesach. Nobody could call chametz for Pesach just plain davar sheyesh matirin, and that explains everything. No. Davar sheyesh matirin explains min bamino, that's true, but it doesn't do justice to min b'she'eino mino, because this is a watered down davar sheyesh matirin, and therefore everyone ultimately has to fall back to some degree on chumr de chametz. So that sheet of the Rif / Ramban that we spent so much time on yesterday, the Ran claims doesn't exist. The Rif never said it, The Ramban said it, but that's riff. Lo hayu dvar miyolam. It's just not true, says the Ran. So the yesodas that we got out of this Ran, with learning the Ran through this one nekudah chum to Pesach, but he opened up our eyes. He explained to us what Rabbi Yudin and the Rabban are fighting about. He told us why in the world Chazav came up with this seemingly arbitrary din of Davar Sheyesh Matirin. He explained to us why Davar Sheyesh Matirin is botel. He explained to us that there are two kinds of davar sheyesh lamatirin, al shem ba'asid, al shem ha'hover. He showed us why that impacts on differences vis-a-vis sugyas of mibimino versus mibimishenamino. And the punchline is he put this all into Hilchos Chametz to explain what's going on in Maseches Pesachim. Quite a feat, quite an accomplishment for the Ran in about two pages or so. I think we can now begin to appreciate a little bit more what Rav Baruch Ber meant. I think I quoted this before. Rav Baruch Ber said that Liachem Eviasim Shana, he says, whatever everyone else's old Mahabha doesn't interest him, just give him a Gemara in the Nedarim with a Ran. That's what he said, a Gemara in the Nedarim with a Ran and a Shtender. He said, he'll be good for life. He said, that's all he wants, is just to be able to read the Rans in Maseches Nedarim. That's the level. I guess this is one of the rhymes that Rabbi Baruch Ber is sitting and reading in the Eilam. Okay, stop it.